I've got that little inventory sheet up here in my head. I don't have to write it on paper anymore. I've got it in my head. When I feel resentment at 9 o'clock in the morning, I've got one or two choices. I can let that resentment fester until about 11 o'clock. I've cussed somebody out. By 12 o'clock, I'm scared to death. By 1 o'clock, I've got two more resentments. By 3 o'clock, I'm a basket case. And by nighttime, I'm just about ready to get drunk. I can do that if I want to. Or I could stop immediately. And I could say, okay, Charlie, who do you resent? What did they do to cause this? What part of self is affected? Which character defect has come back to the surface? I can't be upset unless that own selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate character has come back. I can spot it just like that. I can say, God, you know I don't want to be this way. Please take this away from me. Discuss it with another human being as soon as possible, preferably my sponsor if I can. Make amends quickly if I harm anybody. And in 30 minutes or an hour, it's all gone. And the rest of the day is okay. I've wasted all the days I want to waste. I love to feel good. And I want to feel good all day long if I can. And I can do that by using this step. Oh, God, be careful with this one. Because if you buy into this idea, then that means you really are responsible for how you feel, for what you think, for what you say, and for what you do. Now that we know how to handle this, if I'm filled with resentment and matter in hell, that must be because that's the way I want to be. If I'm full of fear, then that must be because that's the way I want to be. If I'm doing things that hurt other people, that must be because that's the way I want to be. I don't have to be that way anymore if I don't want to. And let's face it, once in a while I do want to be that way. There's times I love to be mad. Because when I'm mad, I can romp and stomp and raise hell with other people, and that gives me a comfortable feeling of superiority over other people. Sometimes I like to be afraid. Because when I'm afraid, I can use that fear to rationalize and justify not doing what I ought to do, and just as importantly, I can use it to justify doing things that hurt other people I shouldn't be doing anyhow. But when I do it anymore, I don't enjoy it like I used to. Somewhere in the middle of it, I catch myself and I say, okay, idiot, you're doing it to yourself again. If we do tend the way the book says, we will continue our growth until we move into another dimension that we never, never dreamed existed. Now, after you do step 10 for a while, due to the growth factor within it, you come to an entirely new set of promises. There's a set of promises on page 84 and 85. Nobody ever talks about them. Let's look at the promises on 84 and 85 after we've practiced step 10 for a while.
He said, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor, and if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Remember way back on page 45 that the statement said that the main object of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, and that the power would solve the problem, would not help me to solve the problem, but if I find the power, then the power will solve the problem. And that somewhere between page 45 and here, through the application of those steps to my life, that desire for drink was gone. And I don't know when it happened exactly, but I know one day I was sober 8 or 9 months, and I looked around at myself and I said, my God, I hadn't wanted to drink it. How long has it been? And I couldn't remember. It was just gone. That's the miracle of it. And that's one of those days that I knew that this program would work again. Another spiritual experience. But prior to that, I used to be awfully bad about thinking about drinking. And some of those times when I was even not drinking, I would be looking through a magazine and I'd see a picture of a bottle and I used to say I would slobber. That's what I did.
Down south, you slobber. I don't know what you do up here.
What you do. But I mean, it just set me off. Today, those things just didn't happen. Just didn't happen, thank God. And somewhere along the line, I said, I found the God within me, and the God within me solved the problem. It's just gone. And that's the miracle here. You notice you get your sanity back. And that's a good thing. I have been restored to sanity. Page 84. As a result of the first 9 steps and 10 steps of the program, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Now then, you got to be careful right here. Because if that obsession to drink has been removed, if you've experienced the promises that you talked about on 83 and 84, things are really beginning to get good in your life now. You know, you've probably been able to move back in the house. If you're lucky, you might be back in the bedroom. Kids are speaking to you again. Dog don't bite you anymore. Probably got a job now. Probably even got some wheels and we can drive a little bit. And things really start getting good. And if we aren't careful, things start to become important. And we begin to put things ahead of our program. And the next thing you know, we start slipping back. And we start getting in trouble again. The book says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do. For alcoholism is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Now there's the word maintenance. One day at a time. Not over a prolonged period. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee, thy will, not mine, be done? These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line. All we wish it is the proper use of the will. See, willpower was no good as far as not drinking is concerned. But now that we've got our will straightened out, we can begin to exercise our willpower for the proper purposes. Trying to find the vision of God's will in all our activities. What does He really want for us to do? Can He give us the power necessary to do those things? Now, we now come to another step, step 11. It said, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction, not suggestion, from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we've carefully followed directions, not suggestions, we've begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we become God-conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. Now they're talking about a sixth sense of direction. Now, everything I know on a conscious level, I've learned through 5 senses of direction. I can see, I can smell, I can taste, I can hear, and I can touch. Those are the normal 5 senses of direction. And everything I've learned on a conscious level, I've learned through one of those 5 senses. But there is another sense of direction called a sixth sense of direction. And if I could learn how to tap into that sixth sense of direction, I could learn how to tap in to all the knowledge and all the power of the universe. And if it's true that God has all knowledge and all power, and I'm convinced that He does, and if it's true that God dwells within me, and I'm convinced that He does, then that means within myself somewhere there's all the knowledge and all the power that I could ever possibly need to handle any conceivable situation if I could learn how to tap into it. Remember back in Appendix 2 when it said, when we become aware of the fact we've tapped an unsuspected inner resource of strength that we presently identify probably as God as we understand Him with a higher power. It's long been known that that knowledge and power is there, And it's long been known how to tap into it. And it's long been known that you do that through prayer and meditation. And most of us, when we come to AA, we're entirely, completely bankrupt in these areas. I knew nothing about meditation, period. I knew very, very little about prayer. Even being raised in church, when I got to AA, I only knew two prayers. One went like this. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die, but I don't like that prayer anymore. That's dealing with death, and I'm really not into that. The other prayer that I used, and I probably you used it too, went like this. God, if you get me out of this damn mess, I swear I'll never do this again. Now all of a sudden I'm faced with developing a life of prayer and meditation so I can receive God's will and God's strength and God's power in my life. It would seem to be an impossible thing to do. It would seem to be an impossible thing for Bill Wilson to tell us how to do this. Because Bill Wilson also was spiritually bankrupt when he got here. And 3 years later, he knew very little about spirituality. Very little about meditation. And I'm glad he didn't. Because most people that know a lot about spirituality and meditation and prayer, when they write things, they write it completely over my head and I can't understand it. Bill couldn't do that because he didn't know enough about it. What he did do was give me paragraph by paragraph by paragraph, which is his usual way of doing things, a series of suggestions. And he said, if I will follow those suggestions, I can then develop my own life of prayer and meditation. He couldn't teach me how to pray and meditate because he didn't know how. But he gave me some suggestions, and if I'll follow them, I'll develop my own life of prayer and meditation. Let's look at those suggestions.
You know, all through the book, we've been talking about those things that's been blocking us off from God, the resentment, the fear, the guilt, shame, and remorse. Those things have been dealt with now up here. And on page 84, we got our sanity back. And once we have our sanity back, we'll be returned to sanity. Then we know what to do with our willpower. But we get our sanity first, and then we get to the proper use of the will. And how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, these things work real good any time. But step 11 officially works real good when you've got peace of mind and serenity and all those things that dealt well. He says step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And it would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. As Charlie said, Bill didn't know any more about prayer and meditation than we did. He was on his...